Thank you, Daniel. Hello, everybody. This is a bit weird. Just got to say, a bit weird. And I'm a bit nervous, which is also a bit strange. But I am just so enjoying being part of this church family and not leading it. I loved leading it, but it is just lovely being part of the church family. This is a really special community that we have here. And what I'm loving is following Adam and the team and the way they're leading us and the freshness they're bringing and the new things they're bringing to us. And I so respect them. And I'm just loving it, really loving it. It has been a challenging 2024 so far. When I handed over the leadership to Adam at the very beginning of the year, I had sort of assorted plans of a bit of a sabbatical time. We were going to do a bit of travelling, things like that. Spaciousness was the word I had for the beginning of this year. And I didn't quite turn out like that. My mum sadly became really ill. I spent a lot of time caring for her. She died at the end of February. And so that's been just challenging. It was all quite traumatic and sudden. So there's been sort of processing that. And then all the stuff that there is when your surviving parent dies, stuff to sort out, houses, affairs, and all the rest of it. Our kids went through some really challenging times as well for them, some significant losses and challenges. And as parents, they live in home with us, so that affects us too, even though they're grown-ups. So it really has been not quite what I was ordering. But you know what's been amazing? There's a phrase in the Passion Translation that talks about the wraparound presence of God. And I have just known the wraparound presence of God through it all. It hasn't all been easy. Some of it's been downright horrible. But God has never let go. And I've just grown such an appreciation of his presence and his love. There have been some highlights. This little chap joined our family. Dave, have you got slide number one? This is Alfie. He arrived at the end of April. He was a surprise. And that's been really great. And then I wanted to say thank you to you all for your gift to go to ABBA the party. I went and it was an amazing, amazing time. It was wonderful to be in a bunch of people, hundreds, unashamedly an ABBA fan, because most of the time I feel like I have to hide that. And it was really, really great. I did have a video, embarrassing video of me dancing at the party afterwards. And I just thought, no, I can't do that and then speak seriously afterwards. I have been wondering what God has next for me. I contemplated a life of crime and... no, seriously, this was an escape room that we did for my son's birthday in July. And honestly, if I hadn't been in a team with him, I would still be in the escape room. I discovered I'm rubbish at any sort of puzzles and riddles and anything. And it was quite difficult. So you don't want me on your team if there's any sort of quizzes, because I'm clearly rubbish. I'm absolutely loving our summer series. And I know we say this, but if you didn't hear Ruth's talk last week, oh, do listen to it on the website. She was just superb. And I loved seeing the journey that Holy Spirit is taking her on. It was really profound and it really spoke to me, a really different way of looking at our God-given personality and who we are. So do listen to it. It's so worth it. And this morning, I just want to share something with you that Holy Spirit's been talking to me about. So this is a bit different this morning. This isn't a sort of a normal talk. I'm actually going to go through half a verse, literally just half a verse with you. It's something that I have been pondering for a couple of months now. I've called this a thoughtful wander because that's sort of what it is. This is the verse. Well, that's the whole verse. We're going to do half of it. And I've just really enjoyed meeting Holy Spirit as I've read this verse and just dwelling on what it might mean for me and us. And hopefully I can communicate some of that this morning. What I'd love to do is just pray before we start. I've stolen a prayer from Lectio 365. I don't know if you do that app on your phone. You can do morning and evening. It's fantastic. I really recommend it as a way of connecting with God. But this was a prayer from a few weeks ago, I think. So let's pray. Father God, what we know of you will only ever be a fraction of who you are. Jesus, open our minds to see you and understand the scriptures. Spirit, move our hearts from familiar to fascinated until they are ablaze with your unfailing love. Amen. So, yes, let's move from the familiar to the fascinated, because we've all been here probably quite a while and it gets familiar, doesn't it? I want to be fascinated by the Holy Spirit, by God again. So this is the whole verse, and it's from the Passion Translation. It's Jesus speaking, and he says, "I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts." And the half of the verse that I've been pondering is the second half. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. I wonder what you hear when you hear and read that verse. Our backgrounds, our perceptions, the familiar will cause us to hear that in different ways. And hopefully this morning we can unpack it in a way that makes it less familiar. I love to do that with scripture. You can read the Bible and it's just familiar, isn't it? And you kind of go through it and you miss some of the depths of meaning in it. And so I love to do things like use a different translation. So this is the Passion Translation. And I also love to just really ponder what each word might mean. So that's what I'm going to do this morning. We're going to do a bit of a canter through it, or else we'll be here all day. Like Daniel said, the Passion Translation uses lots of words. I think in an ordinary translation, it's just "remain in me," is it? Or something. But anyway, we've got a few more. So I'm going to emphasise each word in turn, and we're just going to quickly look at each word. And I just ask Holy Spirit just to bring something new into your hearts. So I'll have a gulp of water. And let's start. You must continually let my love nourish your heart. You must continually let my love nourish your heart. When I read that, often it can just be generic, you must. And when I pondered it, Holy Spirit was talking to me. You, Kerry. You, Mike. You, Janet, you must continually let my love nourish your hearts. What an invitation. And to us as a community, you, River Church Maidenhead, continually let my love nourish your hearts. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. You must continually. Now, if your background's anything like mine, that's a bit of a finger wagging moment. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. Crikey, what do I have to do to make that happen? But you know, I've started to hear that differently. A loving invitation from a God who cares deeply for each one of us. You must let my love continually nourish your hearts. You must. God wants the very best for us. The very best. One of the dictionary definitions, and I do that as well, look up words in a dictionary just to see whether it might bring a fresh meaning. It said, it's something that shouldn't be overlooked or missed. So God's saying, you must, don't overlook this beautiful thing of my love nourishing your heart continually. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. You must continually, without interruption, constantly, repeated frequently in the same way, again and again, without a break, non-stop, forever, endlessly, eternally, continually let my love nourish your heart. And what I love is that God therefore continually wants to nourish our hearts with his love, endlessly, day after day, regularly, non-stop, he wants to nourish your heart with his love. What an amazing offer, an amazing invitation. The opposite of continually is sporadically or occasionally. And I thought, wow, how often does that actually describe my connection with God's love? It's a bit sporadic. It's a day here or a day there. It's occasional. But actually, God wants it to be this beautiful, continual washing of our hearts with his love. And we'll get onto some hows in a minute. Just roll with it. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. Let or allow, we can choose this. God's love and his presence and his goodness are always with you. They're always around you. Always, without fail, they are around you. But we choose how aware of that we become and how deeply to allow him into our being. It's our choice to open our hearts to God's love. That's why it's an invitation from him. It's not a must. It's a must. Come do it. And you may remember that verse, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He knocks on the door of our hearts, wanting to continually nourish them with his love. It does take a bit of intention on our part, doesn't it? And I think about my heart, your heart may be the same, that my heart gets cold, it gets hardened, it gets bruised, it gets a bit battered by life. And I love gardening, so I think of very dry ground that's desperate for water. And often I think my heart is probably like that. And if you just pour a watering can full of water on very dry ground, it just rushes off it. It doesn't actually soak much in. If you're exposed to water continually and you're kept, ground's kept damp, then it absorbs the water. And that's so true of my heart. There's the continually. You know, I will absorb so much of more of the love of God if I'm continually letting it refresh my heart. You know, and what stops me? What stops us? Well, we know we're busy. We know we're distracted. We know we can be very unintentional about this. We can be intentional about other things, but not this. But, you know, sometimes I wonder what's underneath that. Are there things underneath that prevent us? So I just encourage you to sit with Holy Spirit and ask him, what am I afraid of if I sit and allow your love to nourish my heart? Can I actually do that? Do I feel unworthy? Do I feel like, oh, I don't know? Well, God says to you, you have always been worthy of being loved. Always. You are worthy of being loved. And he has always loved you. You must continually let my love. You must continually let my love. God's love. It sounds obvious, but how many other things do we allow to nourish our hearts? When we're actually feeling a bit empty or upset or dry, what other things do we turn to? Do you know, nothing is rich enough, deep enough, to truly nourish our souls and our hearts. Nothing beyond the love of God. And we forget that. I forget that. You know, how many times do I flick on my phone? I sat yesterday, it's really interesting, I'm doing this talk today, and there I am yesterday, and I had a bit of time yesterday afternoon, I just kept picking up my phone, and the news, and the email, and then the WhatsApp, and putting back down again, and did the same thing, and I thought, what am I doing, what am I even speaking on this morning, and I'm doing this. So, my love, God's love, 1 John says this, do not love this world, nor the things it offers you, for when you love the world, You do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. They're not necessarily bad things, but they don't satisfy in the deep way that God wants his love to nourish our hearts. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. What picture do we have of God? He wants to meet our hearts with his love. I wonder how you would describe the love of God. Ooh, wow, that's a bit blurry. Or is it my glasses? That's 1 Corinthians 13. Do you know, I had a bit of a light bulb moment last week when Ruth was doing her talk. How many years have I read 1 Corinthians 13? I always interpreted that was telling me how my love, how I need to live. I need to be patient, need to calm. And she said, God is love, and this describes God. I was like, oh, yes. Oh, yes. So God is kind. He's patient. He doesn't get angry with us. He constantly forgives us. All those things up there and more that you can read in all the different translations. But how would you describe, what? Let me ask that. Audience participation. How would you describe God's love? Anybody want to chuck a word at me? Gentle. Yeah. Patient. Sorry? Always there for you. Yeah. Yeah. I love these experiences we have of God's love. What else? Sorry? Eternal. Yeah. Unconditional. I mean, that's a big word, isn't it? To just sit with that for 2 weeks in quiet moments and think, unconditional. What does that mean for me? It's amazing. Any others? Yeah. Non-stop flow. Yeah. Again, I love thinking about these things. I'll ponder that one next week. God's love being a non-stop flow. Any others? Compassion. Yeah. Yeah, compassionate. Yeah. I think of things like faithful. You know, it's often affected by our current, you know, what we're in. I just think of the last months. What's God love being? Faithful, steadfast, enduring, never letting go. He's extraordinary. And the truth is that you are his beloved. It's as simple as that. You are his beloved. There's nothing for you to do. There's nothing for you to earn. There's nothing for you to prove, nothing for you to do, just to be God's beloved and allow his love to nourish your heart, to allow yourself to be loved. I love that. How often do I allow myself to be loved? So you must continually let my love nourish your hearts. You must continually let my love nourish your heart. Nourish means feed, build up, care for. Gardeners, we nourish our plants. Parents, we nourish our children. We nourish our pets. I nourish Alfie, big time. How are we going to let God's love nourish our heart? And, you know, I think that possibly we need a new way of being to continually let God's love nourish our hearts. I think maybe it may mean we need to live differently to let that happen in our rush and skate through life that we have. Read this prophetic word from the Glasgow prophetic people. My dear child, maybe God's speaking this to you this morning. I look at you and see you as a potted plant that's outgrown its pot. This pot has become too small for you. Your roots are squeezed and your leaves and flowers do not get enough nourishment. I am the good gardener, and I want to transplant you into a bigger vessel. So just let me ask, how might you need to expand your experience or connection with God to grow more? Is your experience and connection with God in a small pot, and he's saying to you, I want to transplant you into deeper connection with me, into bigger experience of me, into greater fullness of my love? Yeah, you feel quite secure in your pot you've been in, but I want to transplant you into more. So how might we need to change what we do and how we live to allow that to happen? We do our thing, don't we? And they're all good. We do our worship and our prayer and our Bible study, and they're all good things. You know, for me, years of doing that, and it's been good and wholesome. But there's this deep need in me to meet more of God. And I've, you know, begun to learn that's only going to happen when I get still and quiet with God. That's only going to happen when I quiet my heart and the noise and the stuff, and I continually let him nourish my heart. So I found that I cannot now live without silence and stillness. At times in a day, purposefully to connect with God. And I'm not talking about 10 minutes where I'm like, right, God, I'm going to be really quiet and you're going to speak to me. I'm not expecting that. I am just sitting there letting God love me. It's really transformative, allowing God just to love me, putting down all my expectations, putting down my outcomes, you know, my agenda, my just getting rid of all that scaffolding for my life and just sitting with God. And, you know, you know I've been doing some emotionally healthy spirituality courses, and I've been kind of in that sort of space for a number of years now. And genuinely, I'm at the point where I cannot live without that. I can, but I'm actually sort of existing now, I realise. Actually, there's a depth of connection with God that my soul yearns for, and he wants for every one of us. And during the time when my mum was dying, there was a week when I cared for my mum by her bedside day and night. And I couldn't do that without that connection to God. I wasn't praying. I wasn't expecting a word. I was just being with God. And it was profound and it was deep. And he wants that for all of us every day, not just in the really tough moments. It's not a shallow discipleship that's mind-based. It is a deep calling. Deep calls to deep of God to our souls. I read this phrase, just lie back into my lavish love and let it soak into your soul. Doesn't that sound good? I love that. So you must continually let my love nourish your heart. You must continually let my love nourish your heart. Just talked a bit more about that. Your heart. God wants to reach into the depths of you. And I've discovered over the last couple of years how little I go into the depths of my heart, how much I like to stay in the cerebral, in the surface, how little I actually know myself. And I think it was Thomas Merton or somebody wise and old like that said that to know God truly, we need to know ourselves first. And that journey of knowing ourselves, the only one that can do that for us is Holy Spirit. He can connect us with the true person that we are, that therefore connects with God. So stillness and silence can be a bit scary because it's like, what's in my heart? But it's the place where God wants to meet with us. Last week, we had an incident in our home with one of our adult children, I think I won't go into the details of. Basically, this adult child came home in a state. In the wee small hours, couldn't get in the house. Was just like completely like, oh, my goodness me. We woke up in a great state. Jonathan went downstairs and said adult, opened the door, said adult child just fell into his arms sobbing. The safety and relief of being home with our dad opening the door. Whoops, just let that slip. And actually, on the Sunday morning, that was 3 a.m. the Sunday morning. So last Sunday morning, we were a little jaded. And I was just sitting here in the worship when Ruth was speaking. And she said, who does God say you are? Or who do you say God are? And God just said to me, reminded me of that and said, I'm the lover of your soul. And like Jonathan freely opened his arms to said child, who was a mess, basically. Don't tell said child I said that. And I'd done everything wrong, basically. And Jonathan just loved her. God said to me, I'm the lover of your soul. And there might be a mess in your soul. There may be a mess in your heart that you're ashamed of. But my arms are open to you because I'm the lover of your soul. And I want to meet your hearts. So those are my ponderings on this half a verse. I just love what Holy Spirit can bring out to us as we ponder these things. And, you know, so what's the outcome of this? Well, it's a deeper connection with God. We get rooted and grounded in the love of God, which is the best place for us to be. This space is a space for Holy Spirit to work in us, to transform us. We all need that. We all need the transforming work of the Holy Spirit. And there's a sort of a famous quote that says, spiritual transformation is the process by which Christ is formed in us. For the glory of God, I want my life to glorify God. For the abundance of our own lives, so that it's good. It's good. And for the sake of others. Because as we are nourished by the love of God and changed and transformed and get rooted and grounded and continually walk in it, we are good news to people around us. We are good news to one another. We love one another more deeply. And we are good news to the people around us. So I just want to end with a little bit of quiet. Just some quiet for you guys. To be still. And I've got a prophetic word again from the Glasgow prophetic people that I want to read over us. The day I began writing this talk, the same verse that they used was John 15:9. I was like, okay, all right, I get it. So I took the word that they put out and I've written it out here for us. And so I'd just like us to be quiet and still. You might like to close your eyes. Just sit comfortably. Individually, as a community here, we just sit before our God. Just allow your heart to relax with God. It's good. It's okay. He loves you. Beloved one, let my love wash you afresh today. Take a moment to still yourself and just be with me. As you sit with me, allow your heart to realign with mine, coming into my rhythm. Hear me as I gently whisper over you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Allow yourself to receive those words afresh. My love brings refreshing. It brings strength. Allow my love today to warm the areas of your heart that have grown cold. As you receive my love today, pay attention to how you feel. My love is here to bring refreshment to your entire being. Amen. What a beautiful gift from God for each and every one of us. Thank you.